Hello, Grant's kids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1162. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I mean, if there was not something over the weekend that was in your taste for professional wrestling, I feel like you live in a different timeline than I do.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch Collision. I'm sure that that may have provided some entertainment that maybe people did not get in WWE programming this past weekend. You
It's
know, like,
possible.
so, wow, there was just a ridiculous amount of professional wrestling on this weekend, Chris.
Yes, there
And I
was.
think you and Jeremy talked about it. I know Shahid and I talked about it last week. We are here this week after Noche de los Grandes. And the mask versus mask match between El Grande Americano and the original El Grande Americano comes out of the weekend is one of the most universally praised matches that I've seen in a while.
Oh yes, definitely in a while. I mean, that's just it's almost hilarious to see that in an AEW match that Meltzer gives 5 stars and just people go like, I didn't get it. And but this is everyone is aligned that this was most likely the match of the year. One of the best presentations for a match, maybe the best presentation for a match you could ever ask for, from beginning to end. Just a tremendous piece of business here. I've joked with Jeremy as Clash of Nelly was going on. It's like, did that match ruin you for all other wrestling? I mean. Are you just gonna be chasing that high for the rest of your life? Nothing will ever be this good again.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few matches that I want to go back and rewatch. You know, and I know that I did some day drinking the day of Noche de los Grandes. And I would say I was not the most awake during this main event, given that it was slightly after midnight.
I saved my day drinking for Clash in Italy the next day. And that was a good decision.
That was a good decision.
I have day drank before night shows before, and it's actually that's I did that for Backlash, and it's probably part of the reason everyone's like, oh, that was a really, really good show. I'm like, really, it was? I guess I must have been half awake during it. I mean,
Yeah, but I definitely recognized how good the match was. You know, I was not so out of it that I did not recognize that it was very good. It was something though that I'm like, I just like I felt like I needed to do it justice. You know, like I
yes,
even
you definitely
knew
need to.
enough in that kind of tired state that I'm like, this deserves better than I just gave it
Yeah,
in
that
that moment
happens.
that it was airing live.
Yes.
So, and I did go back and rewatch it today, and like you said, like the presentation, it's been something that, I mean, we've joked on the show about just how it hasn't translated and all that other good stuff for, you know, a couple of months now. But I think it finally got people to tune in, and that also that crowd, it always comes down to a crowd
Oh
with
my
matches
goodness.
that are going to be match of the year. You've got to have a good crowd, and that definitely played a factor in this too. Just the crowd was It was really amazing. After kind of, only seeing clips of it and whatnot over the last several months, to watch an entire show of how hot they were for both sides, both Americanos, it was just wild, for that to be sustained during a whole match.
No,
And,
this is, yeah.
A lengthy match at that. I mean, it was, that definitely helps the star rating, in my opinion. Like, you've
Yes,
got
it
to have
absolutely does.
the crowd really behind it.
Yeah, that is just an incredible piece of business. I mean, I hope I'm not too subdued right now. And believe me, this go if you haven't seen it yet, go out of your way to see it. If you don't
Well,
understand the angle or whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's really just an incredible thing to behold.
like the match alone told its own story.
It did. It absolutely did. I mean.
So like, and like you said, like you don't really need a lot of the hype. I loved the cartoon setting that they used to create the recap.
Yes, that was
I
great
just
too. Everything.
like that was one of those things that it just felt very unique and not something that you see on main WWE TV a lot. That was really fun and a great explainer for the feud, like if you didn't need much. And honestly, like even the WWE's like, okay, this is so good, or 'cause no, it didn't air on Netflix anywhere. It was all YouTube.
No, it, no, yes, live, it was all YouTube and Facebook, but
Okay.
WWE, in one of the, definitely, I think an incredibly smart move, tacked it on to the end of a, live Raw for people in the, internationally and with VPNs, but, taped Raw for everybody else, just kind of tack that on. It's, there's still, like, it was crazy, there's still, like, what was it, like, when Raw actually ended, what was there, like, still like 50 minutes left in the recording or something?
because I was just like, I'm not gonna watch. I rewatched the match on YouTube because I'm like, I am not watching this with commercials, guys. Netflix, I'm glad that you did this. Tip of the cap. I appreciate the business that you're doing here. But I am gonna watch it on another service. Thank you very
I didn't even
much.
think about. I didn't think about it with commercials. I mean, I of course I did watch, it later, and what and was able to fast forward through commercials. So that was nice. And Netflix's commercials are perfect, like perfectly timed at like 3 minutes exactly. So I knew exactly
Oh.
when to press play. So that's actually a nice feature, especially these international weeks.
Yes, that finding that part out that you can fast forward the commercials has been a great find, quite frankly. And like you said, because of their specific timing, it makes it very, very easy to do the math, especially when it's just like tens involved.
But yeah, I
So,
mean, they are obviously incredibly over the moon and proud of this match and happy with how it all went. Obviously, we have to, build the AAA brand here. This is probably the best, in the entire, what, year plus, WWE's own AAA. Obviously, this is the peak of it. This is this, if there is a moment where this can really take off in the US, this match is it. And follow up and do they get Telemundo? Do they get whatever? It will be because of this match. It will be because of this feud. And I'm very interested to see it with when El Grande the now real and only El Grande Americano returns to WWE TV. Will he fi will it finally click? Will they, first of
Oh.
all, will they stop trying to make him a heel? Second of all, will they just the heel in this whole thing? Second of all, will the WWE audience react to him as a star after all this? And
Oh.
the YouTube video has what is it like? Let me look at
I
how
don't
many
know what
views the
the
YouTube's at.
views was, but I want to say that it was 56,000 likes the last time that I checked, or 58,000.
Right.
So they were doing pretty decent numbers, at least in the like department, but views is always a much higher number. Also, it's pretty wild, the ratio between the two on almost any video that you look at. That ratio is an interesting
It's
one.
it is at 1.8 million, which is tremendous for just about anything that he puts on exclusively on YouTube, particularly AAA. I mean, I think the average episode, the average episode seems to do what? I don't know. I don't need to look at that, but it's the
Yeah,
average episode probably does in the low six figures.
yeah, I would
So
imagine it's much
as
lower
we're and
than
it, yeah,
what this was.
right. As word got out about this match and the show, I think those numbers increased substantially throughout. To put it on Netflix,
Yeah,
good
that I mean
move.
that was the other thing that got a little bit lost in how good that match was. I just thought that was an enjoyable wrestling card.
It was.
Because the other matches, because I'm like, whoa, hold on, where do I have? I know that I have them pulled up here. Because yeah, Rey Fénix and the Laredo Kid for the Cruiserweight Championship was just a bundle of fun.
Yeah, I like that match a lot, yes.
El Hijo del Vikingo beating El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. for the Latin American Championship. That one also enjoyable. But there was a lot of chicanery in that one, so it was
Definitely, yeah,
not qu quite as straight ahead as the
quite a bit of
previous
there was
match.
chicanery in every match. While the general manager was on commentary, by the way. It was
Oh
hilarious.
my gosh, you just brought up that was the only thing
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about the commentary.
about the commentary in this.
We this has for it's both something that's never been done before and took us all the way back to wrestling in the before every show was live. And you notice there's no commentators anywhere around. They sounded canned. They were literally in, no one has, there's definitely never been a live broadcast like this. The announcers were all in three different locations doing this.
It was quite obvious that they were all in three different locations.
I mean, I'm shocked we didn't hear JBL running a blender or something at home, like Shahid did that one time for a toss. I mean, like his wife telling him to take out the trash. I mean, because I think that's what it was. JBL was literally at his home. He does his own, he does multiple podcasts on himself, so he's literally has his own studio in his house. That's literally where he's doing live commentary over the Triple A PLE.
Yeah, everyone just felt so disconnected. And the
Yes.
fact, I still can't believe that Corey Graves was up at like 4 a.m. in Italy calling this thing. Because,
That is, yeah.
yes. It would have started around 4 a.m. because there's a 6-hour time difference.
Okay.
That man was, when he said to Michael Cole that he was just running on caffeine and adrenaline or something during that during Clash in Italy itself, I'm like, I don't think he's joking. I think he's serious. Because, oh man, that had to have been a really early morning in Italy. I mean, I don't know if he went straight there or not. I would have hoped, just for his own sake, that he got there a little bit early to settle in to Italian time before having to wake up at that god-awful hour to kind of do live commentary for this. That yeah, that was wild. Just wild. Yeah, so yeah, that the commentary, it wasn't as bad as I, you know, re-listening to most of it today, it wasn't bad, but again, like, you could definitely tell that they were not in the same place or on the same page. Like, there is just delays in in their communication that just spoke volumes. It yeah, that was a very weird part of the whole show. So yeah, so that does it for, I guess we could talk about the tag match real quick. War Raiders end up beating Pagano and Psycho Clown, but that match had its own side story with Pagano and Psycho Clown evidently in the midst of breaking up
Yes, they
well
met,
ahead
yes.
of this show here. So
Yes. Yeah, this was kind of a foregone thing, just foregone conclusion that they were not going to be on the same page and winning the tag team championships here.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm not totally well versed on their on the entire history of the Psycho Clowns in AAA. But they seem to have been together for a pretty damn long time. So they're definitely doing something different with them. The War Raiders have they have championships now.
Yeah. Yeah, good for them. You know, some people just seem to have found a home in AAA.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
War Raiders on that list now, Omos on that list, and hey, they're getting reactions. So, you know, it's working for the crowd, or not working for the crowd, I guess, because they definitely seem more cheer the baby face, boo the heel down there. I feel like American crowds can't always decide. But hey, we did not have to deal with too many American crowds this week
No,
because
not at all.
All of the other WWE programming, not AAA, was either in Barcelona or Turin, Italy. So no American crowds to be seen this week here.
No.
And I guess, do we start at the top of Clash in Italy there?
Yeah, we could start at the top.
Because it seemed kind of wild. I think that you and I might have even when this was early in the going, that Gunther may win the WWE Championship from Cody Rhodes. I was not completely surprised that they found a creative loophole to ensure that this rivalry goes on for a longer time period, yeah.
That's what it was. I wasn't mad about it, unlike someone else. Like I'm just like, it's just something they had to do. It's every screwy finish isn't that bad. It's not the end of the universe. It was a it's
I
just
thought it was a
fine.
fair, yeah, it was a fairly decent one. Like, there's just so much, intentional cheating, or, the heel kind of goads the baby face into cheating, and then that causes the DQ. Like, yeah, this honestly seemed like a nice, kind of, I'm not going to call it a twist because I know I've seen it before, but, a fine enough version of that to extend this feud.
It's all
Because
it
yeah,
is, just extend the feud.
it does seem a little too early for Cody to lose the championship
It does, and
after
that's been
recapturing.
why this whole just kind of this desperation play that they felt like they had to make to pick Gunther and move Gunther over from Raw to challenge Cody. It didn't make a lot of sense from a standpoint of you don't want to be either guy at this point. And
No.
Gunther did, officially Gunther did take a loss. So Gunther's first loss since he went on his career killer run was to Cody Rhodes in the opening match of Clash in Italy. I mean, not exactly the most prestigious or the most productive way to have, Gunther take a loss on during, in this run he's been on. I got that I that could certainly be argued. That and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. That it was, again, they put themselves in a very tough spot booking these two against each other at this point.
Yeah, that's really what it did come down to. Like, it's one of those matches that they needed. Well, they always feel like they do load up for these international cards.
They do, and again, there may be some other factors we've talked about in terms of, is there pressure from outside, pressure from ESPN? Is there internal pressure to load up these shows? So yeah, I mean, they definitely, they definitely loaded this card up. They needed Cody to have a major league, challenger. It was Gunther who, took a controversial loss so they can get another match out of this, presumably at Night of Champions.
And if there's another screwball finish, then I start to question things. Until then, I'm with you. Like, that was just moving it on along here, there. And up next, match number two, Rhea Ripley defends her WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill. This started a long weekend trend of people not being able to grab other people's feet to put them on the ropes.
I'm not
Because
sure if it.
Paul Heyman missed a foot on Monday Night Raw also.
I thought he made the foot.
He ended up he whiffed and then like had to grab the toes because he had whiffed the first time.
Oh, I didn't guess I guess I missed it back because I was under the impression. Well, I guess Paul Heyman,
He
better
cover
hand-eye
he
coordination than BFAP.
no, he just did a better job of covering up for himself, in
Well,
my
yeah, you'd
opinion.
expect he's, yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
He's
yeah.
a crafty gentleman.
He's crap. Yeah, he's a crafty veteran. Yes, we very much know that. But yeah, BFAB has not had a good few weeks, at least. Yeah, it seems like she's always the one in the in the bad position, in or out of position, or moving, too slow, too fast. It sucks that this is what we're talking about, because this really was a pretty damn good match. And maybe the best singles match of Jade Cargill's career, replacing the WrestleMania match pretty much.
And that is kind of the other wild thing about the mass versus mass match. Kind of hid some other banger matches like this one. Because I am with you. It's been interesting since Rhea Ripley's slimmed down. She has gone more high flying offense again. And then Jade Cargill, I'm with you. If that wasn't her best match of her career, it was the WrestleMania match. So one's one, the other's two. I am not ar you know, like I just feel like people are gonna be out of arguments for why to push her at some point, or
Oh,
why
why
to
not?
stretch. Yeah, like
Why
why
not to push her?
she yeah, like that seems wild. Now that she's lost to Rhea once, I feel like the next time she challenges for the championship, it should be just a no-brainer win for her. To me, there is all doubt out the window at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, like that. I do think that really was the bigger story. Like the B-Fab thing was not great. And yeah, I think she's gonna end up staying where she is in this situation.
Well, I
And
hope. Well, I'm not sure. Well,
well,
the other option is that she's not going to have a job for much longer. Because I at this point, I just don't know what you do with her. You just I guess just hide her in tag matches and interference, but she can't even do that right.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty rough.
That was a rough moment at the worst possible time for there's already probably a lot of doubt around her, and now you just confirmed the doubt, and you just kind of silenced your believers.
Did not do herself any favors there. So, next up on the Clash in Italy card, Obafemi, Brock Lesnar, part two, hot dog. This is another one. It's probably never gonna get 5 stars.
Oh no.
It played out pretty much exactly like how any big man match should play out in this situation.
It was a Brock Lesnar match. It was a Brock Le it was a Brock Lesnar match against another big guy. They are very similar in how they play out. It was just, big move, big move, big move. Oba got to kick out of all those F5s until, well, first, and he went to the table, and then he got three flurry. Kate, lost Brock on the power bomb, and then Brock hit him with a final F5. Pinned him. Oh, you could argue either way whether this was the right call or not. I mean, again, the whole circumstances surrounds Brock's sudden return so quickly. Still probably a lot of questions about that, but maybe we'll never get answered. But this is how they are going about it. They think that Oba can take a loss, and that ultimately, there's going to be a trilogy, and I don't think anyone's doubting that he's going to win the third match. I mean, and again, that maybe hurts it a bit. The idea that, everyone knows that Oba's going to win the third match.
unless they do the Roman Reigns at WrestleMania gimmick here and have him lose like 3 consecutive WrestleMania main events that he should have won.
Yeah. Well, I
You
mean,
know, I
Oma
suppose
is.
it's always possible, but yeah, it does seem inevitable if they have a third matchup. Like, there's no, you know, it goes back to there's no reason. Brock Lesnar is so established, he doesn't need to win, you know, the final say over
Right.
Ovechkin.
No, and no, he doesn't. I'm sure they can, they can build it into a huge deal. And interestingly, to fast forward some, Obafemi enters the King of the Ring tournament, has his first round four way on Raw. Giant reaction from the Italy crowd. So, including me, the same people who were there the night before, probably most of the same people who were there the night before. So they don't think less of him. So he definitely got a giant reaction there, and he came off like a world beater and won his way into the semifinals of King of the Ring. So there is a way to do this where Obafemi wins King of the Ring, beats either Roman or Cody at SummerSlam, and then they drag out the Lesnar match, the third Lesnar match, longer with Oba as champion.
That certainly has potential to happen.
It does, because if they were going to get Oba out of King of the Ring without losing, or without winning it, but not losing, they would have just had him outside of the ring last night when the fall happened.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Because now he's got
that would
two
have been the
singles matches.
easiest. Yeah, that would have been the
Yes.
easiest match to hide
And
a
they're not
loss
gonna,
for
and
him.
I don't think they want to have Oba lose any more singles matches. They shouldn't. That would be a huge mistake. If Oba actually lost another singles match to take him out of King. I mean, the only way is, by the way the brackets are lined up, if he somehow did get take a count out loss, and of all people, Dominic Mysterio is the one
Who
who got the
benefits
win
from
over
it?
him.
Yeah, people would boo the crap out of that. If you had some type
Yeah.
of Brock Lesnar interference, it.
Brock could come back around, before, July or what have you.
Yeah, it does
If
not
that's the
require a
idea
whole lot
is
of appearances for him.
right.
Just
No, I mean,
one to cost him
third,
something, oh, but
well,
something big.
I guess I've talked myself into, okay, there are acceptable ways we can get Oba out of this tournament without him winning it. But at the same time, you're playing with fire a little bit, I think, too. Having your
No.
unbeatable guy
More losses.
take more losses, even under silly circumstances. You don't maybe don't want him to,
Yeah, because
look
they,
dumb or yeah.
and that is the other thing, I guess, to go back to the top of it. Like, they generally have done a good job of avoiding losses for Gunther over the years. Not that he hasn't taken some, but
Right.
in general, they're like, no, we'll just leave him off TV, or he'll just be on and talk. You know, when they don't want him in the ring, and that's perfectly fine. Yeah, Oba almost needs to do something like that, 'cause yeah, yeah, losses on TV, we always talk about it. Losses on TV, bad.
Yeah.
It is not harder than that. It is really not harder than that. So. And especially when you're supposed to be a big bad like Brock or Oba,
Yeah.
like, and that's it. I agree with you. In general, the four-way match on Raw just helps cement how much of a badass he is,
It did.
and that he's hard for any one person to handle, and Brock Lesnar is one of the few. So, and then, 'cause was this? Oh yeah. Next up, Clash in Italy, Becky Lynch versus Sol Ruka, Intercontinental Championship on the line. Redemption story confirmed, for one Sol Ruka here,
Yeah,
after capturing the Intercontinental Championship.
yes, she captured the Intercontinental title. Yeah, and it's You could have had a longer chase. I think you that can be argued. It didn't feel as fulfilling of a moment as you'd want, and the Italy crowd was, as maybe a lot of WWE crowds right now, not super familiar with Sol Ruka. Obviously, they knew. Obviously, they knew, and have, even if she's a heel, they have some affection for Becky. So it didn't make for the best atmosphere for it, and of course, this was also put in a kind of a death slot for the show. That down in the roller coaster ride between the two big matches.
It's a tough spot to find yourself in as far as where this was slotted.
It definitely was. But they pulled the trigger. I mean, it's better than what they're doing with a number of NXT call-ups, throughout the main roster right now. You know what? G good. So in that regard, good. She's got a title. She's figured in. They got high hopes for her. So we'll see what she does, and maybe this can finally separate Becky from the Intercontinental title.
That was the biggest thing that I thought. Just like, yeah, that needs to be something that's a done for kind of situation. At least for the time being. Like, she has been away from the main championship for so long at this point. It's just like it would almost freshen up that division if she was available for it. Because we've talked about how stagnant it's been up there. And yes, one Stephanie Vaquer injury, and we've really had nothing for Liv Morgan to do.
No, she's entering the King of the Ring to be in the ring tournament.
Yeah, just to do
This
something.
makes no this makes no it, it which makes no sense. It really doesn't. Yeah, we really shit in the bed with how Liv Morgan has been booked since WrestleMania.
It's so yeah, Becky Lynch being free to take on Liv Morgan at least gives her a real opponent. Let's keep Becky away from the IC title here, people. Have it transition like they had the US Championship transition over on SmackDown. One of the few things I can highlight is a positive for SmackDown. When the old guard got taken over for the new guard. Last, not least, tribal combat between Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. Not too much chicanery in this one.
No. I mean, they had a weapons brawl, as these matches are meant to be, and technically there's not supposed to be any interference. All this is, I think, the first one of the three that there was absolutely no interference in it. And, Roman Reigns simply beats Jacob Fatu. I mean, he beat him a second time, beat him even more definitively this time. Jacob has to join the bloodline. That's it. And it's again, not completely sure where all this is going, because it feels like we've already been there. We have told this story. We have taken this as far as it can go.
Well, and I guess that's an easy way to just lead into more Raw talk on this whole thing, since we've already kind of touched on some of the Raw stuff. But I did like that Roman Reigns seemed to have a plan, at least for Jay. He's like, hey, we need to have all And this is a little bit fresh. We need to
It
have
is part.
all the gold. So you go win King of the Ring and challenge for the other championships so that, everyone is there. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's another chapter in this. Jacob Fatu being there definitely gives them someone that's not going to take a lot of losses himself.
Right. Well, that's Jimmy's job.
Yeah, poor Big Jim. Like I love what the guy's transformed himself into at this point, and how much he's improved on the mic himself. He's still low man on the totem pole, unfortunately.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
So, it just is what it is sometimes. Jacob is not going to be taking a whole lot of losses and going to be a hard, at least a challenger for something, I would imagine. So, I mean, it could be interesting that Roman it could have everyone try to win their own singles championships.
That's definitely a could be a way to go about it. Again, and it's unclear to me the end game of going back with the bloodline so strong. You made the point about there's something different, some things different things we seems like they could do. But boy, was I not excited to see Solo and company staring them down at the end of Clash and like, what are we even? These guys shouldn't be anywhere near a main event.
I don't even I did not finish all of SmackDown this week. I did watch enough to go, wow, I didn't watch the previous week, and it felt like I missed a month of SmackDown for some reason. Because so many different things happened. Like, evidently, Tama Tonga finally turned on Shinsuke.
Yes, that happened.
And really aligned himself with Solo, and it's just like, oh my gosh, why? It's just not going to do anything for anyone. They are such an afterthought at this point. That there's no one in the expanded original bloodline now that should take a loss to anyone in that group. Even Big Jim would feel rough taking a loss to one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the only
Like,
thing
I guess
I would
Solo,
think
but
about
ooh,
is if
still
they
woof.
all band together, including the Usos and Jacob, to take out Roman and but we've done a version of this already before with Solo, so it's just like.
Oh yeah. And oh geez, trying to co-opt the Solo's gang into the bloodline itself now to be like the SmackDown branch. That's still gonna take so much rebuilding. Like, I did feel like they were trying to attempt that on Raw. Because I feel like with Tala Tonga in one of the four-way matches.
He's got he has one.
Oh,
He was just at ringside. Solo was in the
no, he
match.
was
And
just okay.
Solo took the pin. Solo took the pin from Oba.
Oh, yeah, I just yeah. Terrible look for that team. Like, it continued terrible look. I almost forgot about that. And yeah, you just can't take those guys seriously.
Right. No, you
Like
absolutely cannot.
when even the leader And I mean, because it seems like Carmelo Hayes would have been the obvious guy to take the pin in this situation.
Yeah.
Because Penta's a champion, so you don't want him taking the loss. Solo, again, like, yeah, if you're going to have him involved with Roman Reigns, he can't be taking the pin in these
So
random ass matches like this.
that could just be another one of those Triple H Easter eggs that goes nowhere. Them staring them.
I hope so. That would be
I
great.
actually hope so. Yes, yes, I actually yes. In that regard, I actually
Please
hope so. Yes.
let this Easter egg fail quickly. Oh man. So, yeah, 'cause well, yeah, Sol Ruka gets the promo on Raw. That, goes fine. Yeah, I guess the only thing that was kind of interesting that was additional footage from Clash in Italy that they showed on Raw on Monday night was the backstage. I don't know if you want to call it a confrontation. At least a meeting between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. It definitely was a tense meeting, and Cody Rhodes, as much as anyone, has got to be sitting there seeing a rebooted bloodline and going, "What? What did I accomplish? I accomplished nothing. I
Yeah.
accomplished nothing here."
Yeah. I mean, other people are upset, but he's the first one to agree to team with Roman Reigns after all that. So,
Yep.
Cody's not exactly he's not exactly Mr. I'm gonna fight the power. He's not really Mr. Fight the Power. Yeah, he
No, he is not.
or he finished his story, so no one else's story, man. This nothing else matters anymore. He got his, so now yeah, he's fine. He's just fine with it. I mean, still teasing Roman and Cody is just like, it's still too soon for that. It still feels too soon for this.
Yeah, I don't know what the time period has been. I was on the same page though. Like I'm like, oof, please no. Like I don't care if it's been like 3 years now. Like no. No, 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 no. Make it like five. Thank you. So yeah, that interaction happened. We had a tag match, Ethan Page and Rusev taking on Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Oh boy. Rusev, the gentleman knows how to take a pin. So, I guess at least he's on TV.
I thought Ethan took the pin.
Oh, it did say Paige. Why did I think it was
Yeah.
for some reason I
Well,
thought
wasn't.
it was Rusev that took the pin.
Yeah, this is yeah.
If
Just because a guy like Ethan Page can talk his way out of a loss doesn't mean you have to make him lose multiple times in a month when he hasn't even been around for 2 months.
You can bounce back when your name is all ego because it just kind of goes to show you what kind of an ego he has if he's
I
eating
don't
these
know if
losses. But
yeah, right.
again, said it earlier in the show,
Losing on TV,
losses,
not.
losing on TV, not great.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, there are.
Yes, he has taken multiple pins on TV already. And again, not great, Jim. Not great at all.
No, not great. No.
So yeah, I honestly, I that one felt like the heels were gonna pull that out for some reason to me, so I was a little bit surprised. Well, I guess one other person that could end up finding himself on the bad side of the new bloodline, LA Knight, still making some ruckus on the Raw side,
Yeah.
anti-bloodline.
He is very anti-bloodline. And he's not. This is where the whole presentation of the bloodline, especially Roman Reigns still being such an asshole to everyone, basically. It's just so. It's confusing. It's a bit convoluted. Because nothing LA Knight says is wrong. I
It's all quite
mean.
correct.
No, and the things he was saying to Pierce about being so cozy with Roman Reigns and basically, I thought it last week. Who's really calling the shots here? Does Pierce work for Roman Reigns or what's the is this supposed to be the other way around, if at all? Yeah, it's like what? So,
Yeah,
but
I
yeah,
mean,
that's
Roman was the one that made him not fire him, so, you know.
yeah. It's Roman Reigns show, and LA Knight just pointing it out, and somehow I guess he'll be the bad guy in this whole thing. Ultimately, hey, this has to lead somewhere, right? They're going too hard with this for LA Knight not to get a championship match against Roman Reigns. What?
The only other route that, well, no, that, 'cause that'd be the other brand if Jay moved there. Because LA Knight said he doesn't have a problem with Jay, it would almost be interesting to have them in a championship matchup against each other
Oh,
and
I
kind of
think the way
have
the
something of a final showdown.
I think the way the brackets are laid out, could they meet in the finals?
Oh, I do. That's one of the few things I do not have. I do not have the King of the Ring brackets pulled up. Did not plan on that here. But yeah, I mean
No,
that
they're no,
seems.
no, no. They're in the same first round match coming up the next couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Okie dokie. So they're in a four-pack match with each other.
Yes, they're along with Royce Keyes and Finn Balor,
Oh,
which is an
well,
all which is a which is an all baby face match.
yeah, that's kind of an interesting one. I don't feel great for Royce Keyes and or Finn Balor's chances in this one. I feel like
No.
LA Knight or Jey Uso are the odds on favorite in that one. So, yeah, LA Knight still beefing with Roman Reigns more than anyone. There is also Queen of the Ring matches here on Raw. Roxanne Perez versus Io Sky versus Julia versus Lash Legend. Julia really seemed to be loving working in front of her
Yes.
Italian paisans here. She put
Yeah.
on one of her better performances
And
that I can remember.
they were laying that out on commentary. It was to the point of it being patronizing, like, this is one of those messages from the guy in charge to through the announcers to the world that someone is not has not lived up to their expectations.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you can tell by how she's been pushed already.
Yeah. But
You
yeah,
know,
that's the
like
chick
they
but
had.
that's the chicken or the egg of it all. Is it the push or is it her performance?
I believe on past shows here, I've argued the second run was better than the first run because they did start to give her a real sustained push that second time.
Yeah.
Then they also stopped that push after maybe a month.
Yes.
And that's problematic too.
Yeah,
I
it
don't.
is.
I do think that there is a little more energy to her performance on this evening as opposed to some other
Definitely.
shows. But also, I don't. I think she's generally been doing a good job otherwise. So, yeah, it's one of those weird messages that I don't. It always feels like there's a component that we're missing doing this. This type of a show that and we're never going to get the real, kind of lowdown on it.
Right, yeah.
So, but good for her. It's better to be praised than not praised. So, there is that. Interesting situation with Bailey and Lyra Valkyria here.
Yes.
Bailey seems all in on the tag team here now. Lyra Valkyria looking like she has an eye on Sol Ruka's Intercontinental Championship.
She definitely had an eye on it, and she got a commitment from Sol Ruka to for a title match down the line, and Bailey did not like that very much. Now, granted, they did talk about how both of them are in the Queen of the Ring tournament and of course have their own separate goals there, but yeah. Lyra kinda jumped the line on Bailey here and went right to her own singles glory. And well, Bailey didn't seem to like it much. Again, but we've seen things teased with them for so long. It could be.
Yeah, it's been their teaming has been weirder than most.
Yes.
'Cause they've never given them a real push. The gimmick for Bailey more than Lyra has changed pretty much every 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
During their on-screen presence as a tag team, and it feels like it's kind of gotten stagnant, or they've not gotten a lot of TV time now that they agree with each other.
I'd say that, yeah.
It's just it's been weird. This whole thing's just been extra weird to me. 'Cause I mean they've gotten TV time, so it's not like they've been completely neglected either,
No,
but
they haven't. It's just a weird that they're just in a weird, mostly underneath position, They'll get their moments here and there, but they haven't been a priority. And by the way, before we move on, because we forgot to mention, Io Sky won the four way to advance in the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Oh yeah, should have mentioned that part. Was not completely surprised
No,
given
no, no, no.
this is that
Yes,
one.
I've had to pick a winner there. It would have been Io Sky.
I guess there is this one backstage segment with Judgment Day. Liv Morgan seemingly being a little tone deaf here.
Yeah.
Again, another item that has been teased before, not quite sure what the outcome's gonna be this time around.
Right, yes. Yes, 'cause she's kind of ignorantly picking away at both Roxanne and Raquel here in different ways. I mean, Liv just completely oblivious to how upset Roxanne was about losing. And then, of course, having to flippantly say that, without a doubt, she's gonna win Queen of the Ring. And we're all like, wait a minute. But again, we've had these moments for months and months and months now. There has been, basically no follow-up. There was basically no follow-up from Liv eliminating Raquel from the Royal Rumble. Other than maybe a couple moments here and there, but
Yeah, and she
ultimately,
largely seemed okay with the situation, honestly, Raquel did. 'Cause I felt like there was almost a time where she kind of told Roxanne to fall in line herself. So it's just like, okay, this is a weird way to approach this, but if that's the way you want to go. So, yeah, it was a wild, that's a wild situation that, again, we'll see if it ends up leading somewhere. It's a month-long tradition having gone on at this point. Last not least, here on Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins versus Braun Breaker in your main event.
Yes, main event only announced hours before the show. Granted, I know they've been teasing it for a bit here. It was still kind of an odd decision to have this match on an episode of Raw, and to essentially 50 in the end of 50-50 booking them post Backlash by having Rollins get his win back. As you said, losing on TV is not good. And you could almost argue it with the Brox's situation and Oba and a few other things. Like the established main eventers don't need all these wins. Just
Oh.
this 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 feels like a very this feels like an unnecessary loss for Breaker to take.
The only thing that's going to help out in this situation, I suppose, is that what Logan Paul is not coming back anytime soon.
No, he's not.
If Braun Breaker and Austin Theory turn into one of the better tag teams in recent time and actually lead some type of renaissance in the tag division, hey, maybe it's humanly possible. I see the look
I'm
on
not
your
buying it.
face.
I'm not buying. I'm not thinking that myself. No,
No, I'm not even really selling myself on this one, sir. But I'm just saying that that possibility exists since he is a tag team champion now. But yeah, the other information that you gave out is correct. Seth Rollins doesn't necessarily need a win. It really seems weird for him to get a win on Raw. Like, I mean, we've had plenty of big matches. It almost felt anticlimactic, though, for this to be happening on Raw.
And this is the situation where it's perfectly acceptable to have a disqualification finish.
No, and they don't.
And they don't. No, it's yeah, it yeah you, they're in a weird spot right now because there are signs of their business softening. They've been running with the same, hand on top for a bit now. And you have these new stars people believe in, most notably, Obafemi, and Braun Breaker, some others. And you're putting them in situations to lose. Now, granted, one loss isn't the end of the world. No, but if it's not a necessary loss, or you're not building up equity in a loss, it seems kind of foolhardy to run with the same hand when you do have. It's not like we're at a place where we're at before, where there weren't people, bumping up against the top. Now there definitely are. You got Bron Breakker. You got Obafemi. Trick Williams. There's other, and probably can name some others as well. Like, and now that everyone, plus with everyone being in these fatal four ways now. More people are, even if they don't take the fall, they're gonna be in a losing effort.
Even to go back to the men's four way, why have Penta in there since he's already a
Right.
champion?
No, I am completely against these secondary champions being in this. I am, of course, very against Liv Morgan being in this. It just doesn't. We don't need to have everyone on the roster in these damn four ways. Just pick eight people then, and who can do a 3-round tournament. It's fine.
I don't know why, because that was something that during the course of Raw that they definitely are like, oh yeah, we've been doing these four ways for a while and we're going to keep on doing them this way. And it's just like, no, don't, like, you got to change other stuff, just change this. Either have less people involved or have another round. Like, it's the King of the Ring. Like, if there's anything that deserves multiple rounds, it feels like this rather than having a four-pack match. Like, that just feels more of a result of trying to jam things into a shorter time frame than they should be jammed into.
Right, yeah.
So, weird
I mean, you're still
situation for the
having.
King and Queen of the
I
Ring.
mean, if you do more rounds, you're still doing like a 16 person tournament where, again, somebody has to, everyone but one person has to lose along the way.
It's kind of one of those interesting things. The round robin-y tournaments, like, because what's that one? There's the one in New Japan, and AEW stole the concept
Yeah,
and
the
used it for their
G1
own, the G1.
and the Continental Classic, yes.
Oh yeah. So those basically have the same thing. At least in those situations, you can bounce back from a loss because there are other opportunities there. I also think that they stack the divisions a little bit differently so that certain people can eat more losses.
Right,
That
yeah.
does not generally happen in these King and Queen of the Ring tournaments. Like, I don't feel like they try to put anyone in there that you're like, oh yeah, there is just not even a chance. Like, no offense, but like the B-Fab or who would I say on the men's side isn't a quick Kit Wilson. Don't get thrown into these things just to eat a pin.
Right.
And it would probably help if they did throw in those types of people sometimes. Again, champions should not be involved. So just throw in some other people that need some TV time, guys. You have a whole roster here. Get them off the bench. Shouldn't be that hard. I mean, you had half of them in the crowd for Pete's sakes. That was wild how many people at the Clash in Italy card, like how many
Yeah.
WWE people they had in seats. So, anywho, I feel like we're just kind of babbling. Anything else to really cover before we punch on out here, sir?
No, I think we're good.
Bell time beer of the show. Legitimately need to buy myself more beer. I am just about out of Sideswipe Brewing beer. They went out of business a couple of years ago, and I've still been hanging on to some of their stuff. This was one of my favorites. If I wanted a low-cal IPA, This was a go-to. It's only like 4% or something, or 4.3%. It's very, very mild, but has a great hop taste to it. So yeah, this was one of my favorite session beers. Yeah, I think this might be the last one. So tip of the cap always to Sideswipe Brewing. And should you be in Columbus, Thunderwing Brewing took their place, and they seem to be very successful. I just unfortunately have not found my way over there quite yet. So Belltime Beer from Matt DeFrango, 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.